It is the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer back with you this time following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 41-34 win over the second-ranked Georgia Bulldogs last night at Bryant-Denny Stadium. In some ways, feels like the game just ended like 10 minutes ago. We've had aftermath for you. We have live reaction and interaction with yours truly following last night's game. We had Kalen DeBoer's post-game press conference for you here as well on the channel. So if you miss those things, you need to go ahead and subscribe to Ryer on YouTube. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. There's also a notification bell right there. If you hit that, you'll be alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on the channel. And also, if you would give us a thumbs up, a like, that would help us out tremendously as well. But the Crimson Tide gets it done, nearly falling victim to the biggest comeback defeat in top five history of all of college football. Alabama, of course, leading 28-0 there in the first half after its first four possessions, 30-7 at the half, 33-15 as you moved through the second half. But give the Georgia Bulldogs a lot of credit, as we're going to see here as we work through some of the biggest plays from a night ago. The Dogs answered in the second half. But early on, as we start with the opening kickoff here, you got Kendrick Law back deep. He's going to take this kick inside the five or right at the five. See some pretty good work here on this return unit. I always like to look for the true freshmen that might be out there, because that can kind of give you an idea of who's in the pipeline positionally. I see Caden Jones right there at the 25-yard line getting a block. Zay Mincy I see out there. I think Robbie Oots does a pretty good job, doesn't get a block in the back, but this is mostly just Kendrick Law with his twitch and physicality, his physical nature. The kicker comes over. I don't think he really wants to smoke, but hey, give him credit for helping to limit that thing inside the Alabama 35-yard line. So good starting field position for the Crimson Tide to get things going. A few snaps later, Alabama just across the midfield stripe. You've got, looks like 11 personnel, three wide receivers on the field. You've got C.J. Dupree off the ball to the left of Jalen Milroe. And Jalen right here, four-man pass rush he's looking at. And he's going to take a shot down the field. How about E-Man Henderson with the adjustment right there on the football? I'm not sure that's exactly where Jalen wanted to place that ball. But as we'll see here on the replay, a former high school running back in E-Man Henderson showing you some development at the wide receiver position. See, now he's working that hand, that off hand, trying to create some separation. And then at the moment of truth, makes the adjustment, makes the grab, explosive play number one in a first half that had quite a few for this Alabama offense. So Alabama, after a holding penalty now from the Georgia 25. You had three penalties on the Alabama offense on this opening possession, but you go empty here. This has been a favorite where you get the back split out wide. You've got a tight end down here, kind of sandwiched between a couple of the wide receivers to the bottom of the screen. Jalen's just going to take the snap, and this is just being able to account for a free rusher on Jalen's behalf, because Georgia brings six, and as you see right here on the hash mark, the bottom hash mark, Jaden Roberts has got this this interior player. Tyler Booker's going to pick up this linebacker, but in the process, 52 is left by himself. That's got to be a bust, I would think, of some kind. But again, you're trying to protect with five here, and they're bringing six, so you can't account for everybody. And if the ball doesn't come out hot right here, maybe to Justice Haynes on an angle route at the bottom of the screen, then Jalen's going to have to account for this guy with his legs. He's able to do that, makes him miss, kind of just shakes him there. And then watch this ball fake by Jalen here in the middle of the field on Malachi Starks, one of the best defensive players in all of college football. Just enough to get Starks to stand up a little bit. And when that happens, Jalen's already inside the 10-yard line, an explosive play on a first and 20 to help set up the Alabama Crimson Tide's first touchdown of the night. We'll see it again here from behind. As you see, Jaden, he's got the interior guy right there to the right side, but you leave a free rusher, and this linebacker's coming a little bit late. Brailsford accounts for him, but it's going to take that type of play from Jalen. You see Justice crossing right there in the middle of the field And Starks right here, a little bit out of control. Jalen's able to take advantage of that. One more time, big man. You'll see this from LT Overton coming up too on Trevor Etienne from the Alabama side of things in just a little bit. We'll show you that. That was a fourth down play that we'll get to in just a little bit, but puts Alabama back on schedule with a second and four. And Jalen right here just going to keep. I kind of think this was predetermined quarterback run because you look down here, you're already really working this. I don't know if it was a keep, a mesh read or he read this, but you do have Mykel Williams inside. So you've got these defenders kind of where you want them. If it is a read, you would certainly want to pull that. And now you get just enough here on the edge. Jalen's going to outrun a couple of guys. Get it down inside the five. Going to set up a first and goal for the Crimson Tide. Alas, another penalty. Backs the Crimson Tide up to the seven. And it's a direct snap. And this is kind of quarterback power to the outside with Tyler Booker pulling from the left guard position. You're pinning down here. Again, Kendrick Law, look at this right here. I mean, this is H-back stuff to go along with one of your true tight ends and H-backs. Jalen's able to get to the corner unimpeded. And at this point, this is six. As you see again, look at Kendrick Law, big boy, the defensive back. Jalen doesn't really need to be patient. He sees the opening, doesn't really need to wait on Tyler. Good enough job by Jeremy Bernard out there on the perimeter as well. And it is quickly a 7-0 Alabama lead early in the first quarter of this one. Good stuff on the pin and pull. You'll see it again right here. CJ Dupree gets leveraged just enough there. Kendrick doing his thing at the second level. And there is plenty out there as Milroe is able to pretty much walk into the end zone. Always good to see the big men out in front, right? Always like to see the Tyler Bookers, the Jaden Roberts, those guys able to get out in space and kind of show off a little bit. So Georgia now down 7-0. First and 10 from its own 20. Shotgun formation. Carson Beck, Alabama rushing four. Beck works the middle of the field. This was a pretty consistent theme throughout the night, especially against man coverage. Devontae Smith here on Dom Lovett. And it is a chunk play for the Georgia offense on the crossing route. Couple plays later, it is second and 10. This is pretty much what ends up becoming a takeaway for Alabama a short time later. This time, Georgia has Trevor Etienne in a three to the boundary look out here and working the quick game, able to get ETN the ball. Pretty good leverage by Dom Jackson turning that thing in, and you've got the posse on the way. ETN does a pretty good job actually getting 5 yards out of this, but fumbles at the end of it. Looked like Tim Smith had an opportunity early for the recovery, wasn't able to come up with it though. You'll see it again here. The ball's out right now. Tim Smith's left arm looks like goes right under it. Fairchild for Georgia, 53, ultimately going to jump on this thing. They reviewed it. I mean, it was clearly a fumble. I think they were just looking to make sure the recovery, and Fairchild there at the bottom of the pile is able to kind of take care of that situation for the Bulldogs. And so now Georgia in a third and six. Alabama really good on third down defensively. Especially in the first half. Fourth down was a little bit of a different story, as we'll come to learn here throughout the game. What essentially becomes empty because you've got a back for Georgia shuffle cutting down here to the boundary. Alabama just rushing three. There's Keanu Coote in the game off the edge. And Beck going to take a shot. Devontae Smith on the slot fade. And Dom Lovett, a little bit of a shimmy there. That's usually a tough call to get, though. When you run that into your sideline to go against you, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to get the official on that side of the field to go ahead and throw offensive PI. And really, as we see throughout this game, it was a game in which the officials really let the receivers and DBs play for the most part. You'll see that with Alabama on the offensive end. We won't see it, but it certainly was the case late in the second quarter. What looked to be a clear defensive PI against Georgia went uncalled over on the Alabama side of the football field. So now going to run guard tackle counter, GT counter. This is Jaden Roberts on the hash mark right here at the 15. He's already pulled from the right guard position. You're blocking down with that left side, Caden Proctor, and also, of course, Tyler Booker. You're bringing Elijah Pritchett with Jaden Roberts. Looks like Georgia's in pretty good shape right here. One thing that was going to be hard to run for either of these offenses Saturday night, because they practice against it so much, is GT counter, those type of things in the run game. Both these teams like to employ those schemes on the ground. But Elijah Pritchett, you'll see right here, does a nice job of staying with it and gets the inside seal here. Jaden finishing his guy there. And then again, watch Kendrick Law out here to the top of the screen, blocking in space. Ryan Williams, give him some credit. Not bad right there against the corner. But Kendrick Law against Malachi Starks, a guy that's going to go in the first round of the 2025 NFL draft. Just look at Kendrick over there on that sideline. I mean, through the whistle, doing a great job from a blocking perspective. So Alabama, once again, in a first and 10, Georgia is bringing the four-man pass rush. Alabama protecting with five. Not afraid to do that, especially with Caden Proctor in that lineup now. And Jalen going to deliver a strike. And this goes back again to sort of how amazing it is that Ryan Williams this quickly in his career is able to create this kind of space. He does it kind of off the snap too against man coverage. And it also is a testament to how crisp he is as a route runner. And he pushes these corners off and then is exceptional in setting it down and getting out of the break and creating space that way as well. He does it right here after the catch. Yep, first guy seldom going to be able to make that tackle. It's another 5 yards after he makes the corner miss. Ryan Williams getting going early. And even with this, even seeing that some of these DBs are giving this type of ground, he still is able to hit defenses over the top, as we'll see on a couple occasions, especially in the second half. So once again, Alabama in empty. You've got actually a back and a tight end on the field. They're just split wide. And so you're inverted with your wide receivers, really. And what we've seen Alabama do, especially from this point on the field in a first and 10, is take a shot. So you see all this space. Georgia's thinking that too. This is a shot scenario. But Georgia's also going to bring pressure in front of this coverage. And so that's six guys that are coming for the Georgia Bulldogs here on a first and 10. Jalen and Kendrick do what they need to do. They hook it up underneath, make the catch, and physicality supreme. Look at this, just running through. And you would think this is Western Kentucky, and it's the University of Georgia. This is Georgia's defense that Kendrick Law is doing this to. So another chunk play for the Alabama offense. Short time later, you got a 3rd and 5. Condensed formation that ends up really 2 by 2. Two receivers to each side, condensed there. And Jalen's in the gun, brings Jam back from out wide, returns him to the backfield. And this is similar in some ways to what we saw in the SEC championship game last December. When you motion Jam out to the flat and you see this linebacker running with him, you know you are in man. I mean, this is classic man pre-snap anyway. You got the single high safety. Look at these corners in here too, right? And then you're running this guy. And if you needed any more of a signal that that's what you had, then you got it right there. And you're also doing this to the field. And so now you're asking this linebacker, Allen's a really good linebacker too, but you're asking him to run with Jam Miller. He doesn't do a bad job, kind of gets his hand in there late, but it's a perfect ball from Jalen. And like the 2023 SEC championship game, a rail concept to the back really hurts Georgia here in a red zone or outer red zone scenario. I think it was 26 yards in Atlanta. But again, this ball placement, I mean, you just can't throw it better than that. And I give Jam Miller some credit there on the catch, because he is still a running back. And I've seen running backs drop balls like that many times. Now, that's not always the easiest catch for a back. Jam took care of business there. So now Georgia just stunned with a 14-0 deficit and facing 3rd and long again from its own 27-yard line. And this is going to be the quick game. And I'm sure pre-snap it looked good to Carson Beck because, you know, you're thinking if this is more of a tunnel approach, you're going to have this inside receiver get the kick out on Damani Jackson. And then you've got these linemen coming. The big guys are coming. But you have a miscommunication with Arian Smith and Carson Beck. Apparently, Smith doesn't get the check. It was a check to this screen. And so Smith just runs kind of a slant here. And you've got eyes to the quarterback. So Jackson's looking at Carson Beck and essentially throws it right to Jackson for the interception. And again, it looked like it was a favorable sort of setup. I don't know, maybe Saab gets there too quick before the lineman can get out there or Smith can make the play after the catch. But communication breakdown, big time mistake for the Georgia offense. Alabama with one of its four takeaways. You see it right here. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Saab gets inside that before those big guys can get there. But the posse's definitely on the way. Alabama bringing some pressure too. So this set up pretty well in a couple different ways for Georgia. But boy, you have those kind of communication breakdowns. And kind of like, again, the SEC championship game last year. Georgia giving Alabama a short field opportunity in what would prove to be a tight game at the end. Carson Beck not feeling it after that breakdown. So Alabama now with a 2x2 set. Going to bring C.J. Dupree back in motion. This looks like split zone. But again, there's some RPO to this as well. Kendrick Law out here looking back to Jalen. And this end, this edge defender, look at where he's at right here on the hash mark. Look at Jalen with the football. This was a common theme in the first half. Linebackers kind of in there too. You got a space player right here that CJ's going to come out, I think, and try to account for. Yeah, right there. Jalen, once he sees that seam, he knows he's got those inside linebackers sucked in enough that he's going to be able to, at least after contact, pick up another 5 yards or so. And this was carryover from Wisconsin. Ball comes out late there. Carryover from Wisconsin when Alabama got that two-way working against the Badgers with the back and Jalen Milroe. So it ends up first and goal for the Crimson Tide at the 7-yard line. You got trips into the boundary. Going to bring Jeremy Bernard across in some jet motion here. Long ride, but looks like, again, by design, this is what you wanted with Bernard getting the football. You get a nice pin block right there on Allen, the linebacker. Three. He's the play side linebacker on this. And Dupree does a nice job. Gets just enough. Doesn't crack him. Gets just enough right there of Allen. Munden, the other inside linebacker, trying to come over the top. Justice does enough on the edge. And Jeremy Bernard takes care of it from there. And the Crimson Tide capitalizes on a short field opportunity for a touchdown. Right there you see Bernard get it into the end zone. Jeremy had a couple carries in the game Saturday night. And just like that, it's 21-0. A little bit later, as we start the second quarter, Alabama going to work a flood concept that they like out here into the boundary. Couple of tight ends. You see Jam releasing to the flat. And Georgia is going to bring five. See this backer coming right here? Elijah Pritchett. Oof. He's feeling it on this rush from the edge right here. But when you bring this guy, this offense under Kalen DeBoer and Nick Sheridan is equipped to make you pay for that. And the ball comes out hot. Dupree kind of slips right there into the void. Nice throw and catch, easy. And then after the catch, you're talking about another 11 yards, another chunk play for the Alabama offense there with Georgia bringing the pressure and Jalen doing a good job of getting the ball out hot and on time. Different little look here from the Alabama offense on a 3rd and 5 early in the second quarter. Jalen looking to the sideline as if he's trying to get a check. Really, you got a lot of guys doing it. They're selling it. All these guys are selling it. Looking to the sideline. Look at them. Receivers here, Ryan Williams, maybe Kobe Prentice. Quavis right here. Caden Proctor's looking over to the sideline. And then Jalen's going to clap his hands, and it's the direct snap to Jam Miller. Jam going to hit it up in there on a zone run, pick up 4 yards, which is going to set up a fourth and one. And again, not sure if this is predetermined give or keep, but it had all the earmarks of keeping it because Georgia's showing you right here with Malachi Starks and this loaded edge that if you try to run zone inside on this fourth and short to the back out of the gun, especially, even with the tight end over here, you're going to get a crasher. So let's see. Yeah. Looks like CJ's blocking down. So he's selling it too. And this is a collision right here. Watch the helmet. Woof. Come off. That's a big shot to Jam Miller. But Jalen's got the football. And now he's got leverage on Malachi Starks. And once he gets this edge, Stackhouse isn't going to catch him. These backers aren't going to catch him. Even a five-star safety from the most recent recruiting cycle isn't going to catch Jalen Milroe. Great play call. Great decision, regardless whether it was predetermined or red. Caught Georgia selling out against the inside run and able to capitalize on that as, again, Jalen just absolutely gashes this defense by outflanking it on the edge. So Alabama now going to play second and seven on defense and showing big-time pressure early. And they actually bring the extra guy, but you can see a couple of guys bailing here. Is that Yonzi Pierre in the game maybe right there, 42? Dropping Campbell. And I'm thinking Carson Beck, because of that look, pre-snap is thinking he's going to have man coverage and he can swing this thing and run off that coverage and have Dom Lovett pick up big yards. But it's actually eyes to the quarterback by these DBs. And they're able to converge quickly. Devontae Smith and also Zabian Brown to stuff that thing for a loss. So coming up here, you got fourth and one for Georgia. Those fourth downs, man, the penalties were brutal for Alabama on these fourth downs. You've got Quay Rousseau in the game down here at the wolf position. Watch 22 just to the top of Rousseau down here on the left edge. That's LT Overton. This is nice what he does to this tight end. He gives him the kind of swim move. Watch this. Whoop. And he's in the hole. But his head drops just a little bit. ETN does what a back should do against a defensive lineman. What Jalen Milroe did to Georgia a little bit earlier in a similar situation. He's able to make Overton miss and big first down conversion for the Georgia offense here in the second quarter. Georgia now going to work from 11 personnel. I think this is kind of like nub with the tight. No, this is 12. You've got two tight ends on the field down here at the bottom. In line and also off the ball. Beck with the back to his right. And going to take what is there against this coverage. You've got some off man to the inside, to the top. You know, working against a new corner in the game. And Deshaun Jones and Dylan Bell, an experienced player, able to hit that for a first down. So a little bit later, Alabama bringing four in the pass rush. This is good stuff by Carson Beck because Jones was in zone for Alabama, seven. He got high load a little bit. The tight end released, and he's got to check that flat before he can get depth on that throw. Tight end actually broke in. Deshaun saw it, reacted, actually made a pretty good play, but that was a sort of NFL type throw from Carson Beck. So again, you're playing a lot of DBs, rotating a lot in the secondary. I think as the game wore on, it was maybe as much by necessity than preference. Played a lot of snaps, as we know, in the second half, it seemed like. So now Georgia again with that 12 personnel, second and four from the Alabama 7.5 here in the red zone. Going to run it right here, and you'll see a couple things here. You're pretty good in the A gaps, but you've got a tight end getting to your inside linebacker right here, Jod Campbell. The center's already out on your other inside linebacker, Deontay Lawson. So you're accounted for if you're Alabama in here. And ETN does a nice job because he doesn't waste much time right here. You know, he makes that cut and you get just enough of the tight end on Jihad. And then right here at about the three, you can see the center working up here. 11 on Malachi. That's Smith on Malachi. Sab is kind of anticipating the bounce, I think. So he's wanting to go to the outside. Kind of vacates just a little bit. You're soft right in here now. See? And even though Sab is able to make some contact at about the 1.5, he doesn't have his legs with him. He's not able to bring everything with him to the tackle. And Etienne, at the end of the day, still, what, 215, 220 pounds? You can see it right here. Center up on Deontay. Got just enough of Jihad to create a crease. Sab's thinking maybe it's going to bounce. And then by the time he can sort of get back across and into the gap, ETN is into the end zone. So 28-7 game now, 6:17 left in the second quarter. Alabama with a bunch to the top. That's Kobe Prentice in there now because Kendrick Law is out of the game. And I think that was a big part of, I'm not saying, look, the Alabama offense, I hear you on the time management and those type of things, maybe didn't keep the foot on the pedal in the second half. Bottom line is Alabama's offense produced 39 points in this game, you know? And I know you can say, well, yeah, ideally, yeah, you would spread them out and control the game and manage the game. But it doesn't always work out that way. If I told you before the game, look, Alabama's going to score 39 on offense alone, you would have thought, look, Alabama's going to be in pretty good shape. But you got Trips in that bunch. You got Oots down here in line. Jalen takes it here. Four-man pass rush. It's like man coverage. Getting some pass rush from the top against Elijah Pritchett. He had the tight end, I think, early leaking. I think he had Oots, but Oots does a nice job of converting to a blocker right there at the SEC logo. And now Jalen, once again, he's in space. And if you don't take good angles against this guy like eight didn't, it's going to become another 10 or 15 yards on top of what he had already beat you for, already gassed you for. So again, Jalen with a huge, huge play. Now, you had kept on something similar to this on fourth and short earlier with Jam in the game. This time, going to go ahead and give it to him, seeing some initial push on the interior right here with Brailsford, but really shouldn't be as much of a problem because initially, anyway, looks like your tight ends are in pretty good shape. And then you're also bringing Bernard across late. And this is probably something that you would like Kendrick Law to do in this situation. But remember, he's not in the game. So Bernard, he doesn't shy away from it. He doesn't back down from it. But it's not what Kendrick does in that situation. And give this edge for Georgia some credit, too. Because initially, Oots had him where he wanted him. But he was able to get that outside shoulder clean right here and back into the gap just enough. And you got the safety coming downhill. I think Jam thought initially he was able to be able to hit that gap and get what he needed. And then once he got up in there, maybe made the decision late to try to bounce. And now it's too late. It's going to go for no gain and a stuff for the Georgia off defense there on fourth and short. So now Georgia in attack mode, down 28-7, late in the first half, spreading the field, do have a tight end in line to the top. So you're really 4-by-1 with the tight end to the top and three receivers to the top. Alabama does have a wolf up there on the line of scrimmage. That's Q Robinson. He's going to drop out. You're going to rush three. And here's where Beck, I'm not quite sure what he's looking at here. I don't know, again, if he thought this was going to be a slant and his receiver ran more of a deeper dig, but kind of bailed at the snap. I think he thought maybe he was going to have man coverage. It's the only thing I can come up with. But he was rat trap at this point. And it's Jihad Campbell with the interception. And not just the interception, but again, a takeaway that after the return is setting you up on the short field. Cade Womack showing a lot of stuff to Carson Beck there in the first half. And so now Jalen off of kind of split zone action. And instead of this time, You know, you get CJ out in front of these runs a lot with Jalen, but now you slip him out there as a receiver. Easy throw and catch. Ryan Williams again, willing blocker. CJ, physical after the catch. Able to go get that first down, go get another 4 or 5 yards. So easy touches also. Design touches creating chunks for this Alabama offense in the first half. Single back set. You've got Dupree in line here to the bottom of the formation. Bernard's going to motion in to sort of tighten that up. You do have 11 personnel back offset to the left. Jalen here takes the snap, and he wants to work this leak. CJ was in line, remember? It's kind of a delayed little leak, and it's hot. Now, you look down here, you've got a back out here in the flat. George's kind of got you cluttered up here in the middle after the snap. Looks like Elijah Pritchett's doing a good job up there in pass protection at the top. So now you've got some congestion in here. And when you got congestion, you're going to have to try to drive it in there and keep it away from the coverage. And I think Jalen did both of those things. The problem is, if you don't make the catch, and I'm not putting any of this really on CJ because that ball was so hot and on his back hip, with that many people in the area for Georgia, there's a good chance. See him leak there late, trying to sneak him there in the seam, but Georgia, a couple things here, probably spying Jalen in this situation, but also after getting hit in the middle of the field a couple of times, maybe a little more cognizant of that. It's a nice play by the linebacker there too. 17, the safety able to capitalize. That ball is hot, you know. I'm sure CJ would tell you, it doesn't matter. I still got to catch that, especially in that area of the field. But that ball is smoked, and then he has to kind of, once the deflection that resulted in the interception was the first one, because once he tipped it kind of to himself and simultaneously took the hit, the popcorn bounce on the second one was coming. So Alabama here with Georgia in 3rd and 10, this is the good news to that bad news. You got Georgia backed up to start this possession, and boy, this is 8-man pressure from Kane Womack, right? I mean, that's Keanu Coote. You can't block everybody even with 7. And Coote's going to get the pressure there. Beck's just going to let it rip. Guessing he was hoping anyway that Dylan Bell down here was going to keep running the go. Bell really didn't do that. And as a result of that, you end up with an intentional grounding call in the end zone that's going to go for a safety. There you see Coote and Q also with a party at the quarterback there in the end zone. They meet and talk about it. I don't know what that hitch was going to do. I'm guessing they wanted to maybe run a double move on the outside with Dylan Bell, and we'll see later. Dylan Bell can run a double move, but that time it didn't work. Worked out just fine for the Crimson Tide defense. 2 points for the Alabama defense. Now, look, Alabama has, you know, created some opportunities defensively for this offense, and Alabama early took advantage of that short field on the Jackson interception. Didn't really do it following Campbell's interception, but did get the safety on the heels of that. Now, after the punt, Alabama gets the football field position would have been better. But remember, on the free kick from Georgia, had a block in the back on Devontae Smith. Had a nice return by Cole Adams. So you were going to be in even better shape, but you lose that. I love this right here. Let me see if I can get it back just a little bit. I think this had been, this was a formation where I think similar to what you saw at Wisconsin with Ryan inside here, and then you ran this slot fade for the touchdown at Wisconsin. You know, Georgia saw that film. And you got the tight end split out up here to the top of Ryan, who's basically just sitting down up there. And so even if you're in zone, it looks like, man, that corner or that DB to the top still going to give ground because he's going to try to help probably with that inside defender against Ryan Williams. And what you get, again, Ryan Williams just being to that side of the formation creates so much space. What I like about this from Quavis was he didn't just sit and wait on the football to get to him. He came to the football. That's a long throw for Jalen Milroe. He meets the football. And then look at what it creates for him after the catch. What, another 10 yards or so? Love that. We'll see it a little bit later, I think, with Jeremy Bernard, too. Here you go. Razzle dazzle. It is 2nd and 5. You don't have any timeouts, but you're doing just fine with your stuff. Get out over your skis a little bit right here. Feeling yourself. I said it last night after the game or at halftime, maybe on Spaces. This felt like a heat check from Nick Sheridan. And I know you're going to tell me, well, look out in front here. But boy, if you're asking Caden Proctor at 360 to get to this guy, and that's the thing about Georgia. I mean, you might line up and beat them even in your base stuff, but they're not going to go completely undisciplined usually. I mean, Kirby's teams aren't going to do that. So that's kind of what you're banking on here. And this guy, Malachi Starks, he's already had enough problems in the first half, and he'll have a few more in the second, but he's not giving that up. So what looks to be a pretty promising situation to add even more points there at the end of the second quarter basically goes by the boards. This is fantasy football yards right here. Georgia, I know that Beck threw for over 400 yards, but gosh, I think about 60 or so at least came on these last few completions of the first half where Alabama was, I think, rushing one guy here at the end of the half. And then you get the chippiness over on the sideline. Unfortunately, what this would lead to for Alabama is an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, apparently on Miles McVay. I'm looking for Miles. I'm looking for 58. But so anyway, you kick off to start the second half. Georgia gets football. And now Georgia gets really good field position out of this thing because you get a return on the kickoff from the 20 out over the 40. And so now you get Alabama bringing 4. And this looks like initially it's going to be more than 4. Q Robinson does a nice job right here of working sort of a twist with Deontay Lawson. And when he hits that A-gap, he basically attracts, he makes that left guard take him. And when that left guard takes him and this back is releasing right here, Deontay Lawson has a free run at Carson Beck, and he don't miss. And it's a sack there of the Georgia quarterback. So you kind of weather that situation there with the opening kickoff, you know, being in a situation where Georgia could have good field position. You actually give yourself a chance to win back field position. Now, Alabama offensively comes out, doesn't do anything with it. You think about the possessions in the second half. I think there was one drive before the big play to Williams of more than maybe 23 yards, and that's the field goal drive that we'll see in a little bit. But now Georgia working from its own 24, 3rd and 6, Alabama showing 5-man, drops out. Right here you see Deontay trips up, slips, and then he tries to recover and come off the outside here. I'm not sure if that was just because he got tripped up, but now you got 3 guys in a pass rush lane right here. See this? Now you got Deontay Overton. Is that Tim Keenan? And on 3rd and 6, and you're in man coverage. So now you got a quarterback that can run, but man, look at Jahad Campbell right here. Close it up. And also Malachi. And I love that they didn't just give up the line to make. You're not getting there. Not on that play, at least. So on a 3rd and 6, you're able to get the stop there short of the first down. But, again, Georgia on 4th downs and with these penalties, able to stay on the field, Kirby in desperation mode for much of this game after falling behind 28-0. So 2x2 look here for Georgia. Kind of a Tennessee set and going to work the quick game out here. And you'll see Jalen Mbakwe in the game at corner right here at the bottom of the screen. Kind of gets a little bit inside right there. See that? Gives up his outside shoulder. You know, I think you're anticipating Red Morgan here. Is that Red or is that? Yeah, that's Red. You're hoping that maybe Jalen can get that turned back into the pursuit and into Red, but a little bit of a hold right there too. And I don't think Georgia needed it. I think you were set up pretty well based on the angle that Mbakwe took. Jihad with a hustling play on a wide receiver. I know there was talk about a horse collar. He did have the back of the jersey. Give Jihad credit. He took the hand off. He didn't leave it there all the way through the tackle. But pretty fortunate there to have a hold sort of negate that for the Georgia offense in that. Look at Kirby, that visor, boy. That visor has come unfastened. Again, Georgia 3-by-1, 3 receivers to the field. Alabama, yeah, this was what they were trying to get, I think, with Deontay earlier when he tripped up or fell down. Same concept in terms of the pass rush. You've got 2 guys coming here. You're trying to get this tackle to come down and then bring your linebacker. Beck, give him credit, gets the ball out hot and quickly and accurately there against Devontae Smith. That's pretty good coverage by Devontae. Just a really good play by the quarterback and the receiver there to keep the chains moving. Now, this is, to me, as big a play as there was in the game. Didn't probably seem like it as much at the time, but you got Georgia in a 2nd and long. You're going to bring, I think this is 6-man pressure. You can see it's man, but you're off coverage. And Beck's going to get the ball out hot. Gets it out right here to a slot guy. That's Lovett. Yep. And now you're 1-on-1 with a true freshman, and then you're 1-on-1 with a block on another true freshman up here. And right here, boy, when Red doesn't make that tackle, now you're fighting for your life. I give Xavier Brown some credit. He got off of it. And the one thing you had to do, and you even heard Kirby talk about it post-game from the Georgia perspective, was you're going to give up some explosive plays. I mean, in the 2nd half alone, Georgia had, I want to say, 5 pass plays at 30 yards or more. And this is what really, in my opinion, got it going. This is what seemed to breathe real life into Georgia when they were able to hit that explosive play. And we really didn't see 6-man pressure, I don't think, from Alabama for the rest of the night. So now Georgia feeling it. This is pretty good concept from Mike Bobo. You'll see it. It's man coverage for Alabama to the top of the field. You'll see Malachi right here. He's got this tight end that's arcing out. And so you're manned up in the slot. You're manned up on the outside with Xavier Brown and his guy. You kind of get this action from the back like you might swing it out there. And this is where your eyes kind of betray you probably a little bit if you're Xavier Brown. Now, all this stuff going on in your area, but you'll see Malachi's manned up. I think that's Sab manned up. But between it all, you've got this wide receiver just releasing free in the middle of the field. And that's Smith on Xavier Brown for a Georgia touchdown. Now it feels like a football game. You'll see it again from behind. Watch this. See 4 wheel to the flat. He's going to take Malachi out of there. And then Lovett takes Sab to the post. And then Xavier, not quite sure what he's doing right there, but it's an easy throw and catch. Nice ball from Carson Beck to Smith for a UGA touchdown. Now, the 2-point play. When you saw this formation and they kind of loaded up to the field with it, you're thinking sprint out. I mean, this is, go back to the Joe Montana years, the 49ers, and this is a favorite play down here. And this is a hell of a throw by Carson Beck because Alabama's in good shape to the field, right? He counted 4 right here in the flat. Red Morgan's underneath his guy. You got a couple of guys up here. Deontay's in pretty good shape in the middle of the field. You look down here in the bottom left corner of the screen, there's Lucky, the tight end. And I would have bet you $100 at the snap that he wasn't going to be the guy on this play because of where he's coming from and really just who he is. I mean, he's not a primary guy in this offense. But, boy, this is – watch this throw by Beck. Sab's not in terrible shape. Look at this ball. That's – you can't throw it much better than that. So whereas on the morning after, we like to kind of, man, what was Alabama doing? Sometimes you do everything right and you still get it wrong. And hell of a throw and catch there for Georgia for the 2-point conversion, which now makes it a 15-point game. A couple times Kirby went for two, and I'm not sure he needed to, especially at 33-21. Ultimately, it worked out just fine, but just some interesting approaches to the 2-point play. But it is 30-15. Alabama now facing a 2nd and 10 and needs some urgency. It's a 2-score game. Empty. Jalen. Pretty good protection right there. Wow. Look at Parker Brailsford right here. Nothing passive about pass pro, right? This is a nice ball. Good route to Ryan Williams. I mean, that's kind of a flat-footed, opposite hash, 18 yards in the air drive to Ryan Williams, who is able to pick up 11 in an Alabama first down there. Great ball from Jalen. Still more empty on a 1st and 10 from its own 33. You got a 4-man pass rush. You're getting some pressure inside here. But Jalen likes the matchup because the matchup entails number 2 against a safety. Even Malachi Starks, you're going to go there. And what about the kind of a SeaWorld act? Look like a seal, you know, bouncing the ball there before he comes up with the catch. But just an amazing catch, an amazing adjustment by Ryan Williams against one of the very best defensive backs, again, in all of college football. And not just this year, but for the last 2 or 3 years. You'll see it again. And this kind of set up because of that slot fade threat you've put on film against Wisconsin, that if you get him on a corner or a DB, a safety type, and he can run the slot fade, it's going to be a problem. You'll watch Ryan right here. Sell it. See him sell the fade. I'm going to take you slot fade. He gets Starks turned around. Starks still recovers nicely. This is why Starks is going to be a high round pick too, by the way, because most safeties, once they turn that way, it's over. But he's able to get in there enough to make it a difficult catch. Ryan's still able to come up with it. And again, this is one of those plays in the second half. Even, I know we can talk about Alabama offensively didn't do enough, that still felt daggerish. But the key there was you still ended up making the tackle on Ryan Williams and you make Alabama play offense from the red zone. So now, 3rd and 10, Georgia is very much looking to force the field goal here. Rushes 4, but you've got, you're going to try to release this back again to the field. You got a couple of safeties sitting here at the sticks, though. One you're going to see with in just a minute. Go quickly to Justice in the flat, but again, that safety's sitting on that. I mean, that's what he's playing right there. And so it's going to be a minimal gain after the tackle. Here comes Graham Nicholson. Chip shot, right? 28 yards, takes a little paint off that right upright. You clinched a little bit on that one, didn't you? I did, but hey, it's good. And now, so it's 33-15. You're starting the 4th quarter, 3-score lead. Should be safe as kittens, even with this being the Georgia Bulldogs. 3rd and 5, Georgia, condensed formation, 2x2, back to the left. Beck in the gun. Going to run this little quick toss out here. This is nice by Rex, by Red Morgan. Watch him get underneath 71 right there at the moment of truth. That's a veteran type of play by a very young player. And in doing so, he's able to slow up ETN just enough. You know, Bobo likes that play, and as I recall in the SEC championship game last December, they tried to run that a couple times, and it did not work. It basically went like this. Now, I think they ran it into the boundary more in that game, but not much success with that. And Deontay is able to come over and make the stop, force the 4th and 6. Going to bring 4? You going to bring 5? Yeah, kind of a 3, but you give up the inside part of the field here to the top. Let's see if we can see the release one more time. Go back just a little bit. We'll see it right here. Dylan Bell can run some routes, by the way. Wazabian Brown had everything thrown at him too, didn't he? So when the back releases out and you're playing man, that window opens perfectly once Bell gets inside Wazabian Brown, and there's one of those fourth down conversions staying on the field. And even with that, like, the fourth down conversions didn't really bother you as much because Georgia was needing 12, 15 plays to move the ball down the field. What really hurt was on the heels of those, the explosive plays started coming in to into effect, as we'll see here in just a little bit. Beck working out of the gun again, four-man pass rush. Alabama just not getting there with a four-man rush throughout the night. I'll say this too. There were a lot of occasions where the ball was coming out really quick, like Beck had made some pre-snap reads. But right here, Quay Rousseau, even with the injury, coming off the injury, dealing with the injury, able to get out into the flat. This, I'd like to make this sound, and it's a heroic play, don't get me wrong, but this is poor by a quarterback that's expected to be a top 10 pick next April. I mean, you got to be able to protect the football better than this. And as a Jaguar fan, I've seen that too much from Trevor Lawrence the last couple of years. And right now you see it. Quay Rousseau, hell of a play, knocking that ball loose. Now right here, are you greedy? And especially in retrospect, are you thinking, boy, I wish LT Overton would have, or Jamarian Latham would have just scooped this thing up and run this thing. He doesn't. He does the prudent thing. He falls on the football. He takes care of the takeaway. Great play by Rousseau. Again, pretty poor right here by Beck. And you got to be stronger with the football than this, man. This is nothing compared to what you're going to get next year in the National Football League. But yeah, nice. And right here, you see Latham scoop that thing, big man. No, goes for the cover. And, you know, it is another takeaway on the Georgia side of the field, but it ends up being another situation where Alabama doesn't capitalize. After the first one, the next two, Alabama had great opportunities and didn't capitalize on those. So Beck, once again, working from the gun, Q getting some pressure to the inside of that left tackle. Tim Smith coming over the top. Nice job by Beck this time, working to his left. He's not comfortable left, is he? But he's able to get it out there to ETN, Deshaun Jones in the game at the corner, able to come up and make a tackle. But Georgia is able to continue the drive with a first and 10 here. Four-man pass rush, Jaheim Otis in the game, James Smith in the game. And Beck, again, going to work that middle, coming back to the middle of the field. And this kind of sets up what's coming a little bit later, I think, in a way, too. Sab does a nice job right here of finishing with authority. But there's some stuff on tape at this point of Keon Sab that tells you that's where he's at his best, probably. And that's double movable, especially if you're protecting your quarterback and he's not getting a lot of heat, so you have time to work that double move. But Beck right here takes a shot deep. And then Bakwe's in the game. Pick a corner, right? Changes almost, it seems like, series to series. And Bakwe gives it up to the bigger receiver. He's a problem, you know? He's 6'3 guy. He can throw it up there, he's going to go get it. Now, he doesn't go get the last one, as we'll see, but he can do that, the Miami transfer. So, four-man pass rush now. Alabama working a twist to both sides. And you end up right here. This is, I'm not sure what this is down here. You see Sab? He's looking to the outside as if maybe he's going to trade with the corner here, or maybe he's thinking he's helping to the corner. And now Brown's in there at that corner down there. What you end up with is with Lucky just sort of running to the inline against Deontay. It's a good ball, too. I mean, it's a great catch. I'm not sure if they were looking at maybe a tunnel screen concept or something, but again, you end up with Deontay in coverage against seven, and now it's really a ball game. So we'll see here. Alabama in the pass rush, ball's out too quick. Deontay in trail mode, and that's a touchdown for the Georgia Bulldogs. One more time, the glam shot. Yeah, pretty nice catch there by Lucky for the score. So now Georgia, as I said, 33-21 game. You kick the extra point here, you're down 11, which field goal, touchdown, two-point conversion, you know. If you don't get this, then you need two touchdowns. And so at the time, this felt pretty big. And you bring Sab off that corner, and he's able to get a hand on the football. And that's important because it looks like Smith right here has enough of a cushion to the pylon that if that ball's on target to the pylon, he's going to be able to catch that for two. Jackson giving some ground here in the end zone. But Sab gets his hand on the football and is able to prevent that ball from getting to the pylon. And so Alabama now with a 33-21 lead, 9:09, and it would prove to be an eternity with 9:09 left and a 12-point lead. Jalen from the gun, straight drop, four-man pressure. Mikel Williams, the star edge for the Georgia Bulldogs. Working against Caden Proctor. Jalen gets the ball out. This was big by Cole Adams at the time. Working in there because, again, no Kendrick Law. So you're seeing some Kobe Prentice. You're seeing some Cole Adams in the game more. What a catch. That's a great job by Cole Adams right there to keep that drive alive. And, again, one of those plays that at the time felt pretty daggerish. There were two or three plays in the second half where you're like, okay, you know, Alabama's going to be fine. Got this thing under control. Now Alabama faced with a 3rd and 11. You can see the Georgia secondary here. Look where they're lined up. You got five DBs on the yard, on the sticks. And so the thing about that, again, we saw this earlier from Georgia too, with this type of coverage, they're still going to bring extra guys in here. See this? What's that? Six coming. Six are coming. You got a free runner now. Is he jammed down here releasing? Maybe after the catch, he could get you something. But Jalen wants to make the throw to the sticks, but he can't step into this. He can't drive it. And so pretty fortunate probably in some ways. And we'll see this later too on a ball to Jeremy Bernard, especially where Alabama was on its end of the field. Oof. You know, could have easily been pick six-ish for Malachi Starks. We'll see that later. 1st and 10 now for Georgia. Dogs are feeling it. Down 12 with the football. James Burnett able to flip the field. Okay. So you're looking at 3-by-1 set. Back shuffles out to really make it empty here. Leaking the tight end to the top of the formation. You got five-man protection against four rushers. Beck looks like he's going to go and run with it initially. He kind of pulls up. This is a pretty ball, too, right here in the hole to the back. That back who would shuffle motion to the right. Now he's behind Keon Sab. This is a hole shot. It's a great throw because the DB's not in bad shape right there. With Jackson playing some kind of zone coverage, almost like a safety would in that situation. But it's another explosive play for the Georgia offense. 1st and 10 now. Play action, four-man pass rush. He's quickly going against man coverage to the top of the screen. As you can see right here, Xavien gets lost a little bit back there on Arian Smith. And Smith is able to make the catch. Georgia just went to this and went to this and went to this. Gives Xavien credit again. Makes the tackle at least short of the goal line. At least makes Georgia play red zone offense. Yeah, it's the 1 yard line. You'll see it again here. Xavien's in pretty good phase right about here. But this kind of goes to the argument about fans always talking about didn't get his head around. Didn't get his head around. Well, if you get your head around a little too early and you get a little bit of a push in the back, by the way, how about that right hand to the back? You can sort of get lost when the ball's in the air. combination of things there for Xavier Brown. But again, give him credit, gets the ball on the ground. And so gives Alabama at least a chance to play goal line defense. And they do a nice job right here. Look at this right here. This tight end trying to deal with, I think that's Overton. Overton blows that up. And that allows Jihad Campbell to fill behind him and make a stop about 2 yards short. Now, you can see Overton. He did. I mean, he blew that up. What happens on the play is Georgia starting center goes down with an injury. So now you got Mike Bobo's kid in there snapping the football, number 74. And I'm sure he's going to be a great player, but Georgia did not want to run the football behind 74. I promise you. And you're without Tate Ratledge on this Georgia offensive line. So even though it's second and goal from just inside the three, I'm going to give you three guesses where this ball isn't going to go. It's not going to go guard to guard. It's going to go to the perimeter. Smart. I mean, look, Mike Bobo's calling the plays, and even he knows. I ain't running this in the A gaps behind my kid. We're going to go jet right here. Dylan Bell's like a running back anyway. And so I guess you could say you should have been anticipating this if you're the Alabama defense. But now you've got these tight ends out here on the perimeter and a big wide receiver in eight. See these three guys down here? Eight. Is that four, seven? And you've got a linebacker there, but again, you got a bigger wide receiver that's pinning. And then you're going to like your chances with these tight ends on a corner and a safety. Overton, I mean, he's not going to make that play on a jet. So you get that kicked out nicely. That's good stuff. You get just enough of Campbell. Ball goes to the perimeter, as it should have right there with the backup center. Third team center in the game for the Georgia Bulldogs. See it again. You'll watch Overton. He gets across. He's a little bit late, but I don't think it matters. And right there, wide receiver with the pin down. Then you get Delp, and I think it's Lucky out here on Malachi in Jackson. Yeah, that's going to be tough for Malachi in that situation. Show it again. I mean, that's easy. Too easy in some way. Some of these red zone conversions, I think for Georgia, I think you could say that about. Good stuff from Georgia, but got to make it tougher than that. Got to be a little more aware, too, of your situations maybe. So as if things hadn't gotten tight enough. 33-28, ensuing kickoff now. You got Ryan Williams back deep to go along with Cole Adams because, hey, another touch for Ryan Williams can't be a bad thing, right? Well, you see Cole Adams, he calls for the fair catch there, but it ends up a miscommunication between the two. Ryan muffs it, and Cole just jumps on it. But he's saying, I called the fair catch. But, Cole, you didn't muff it. Ryan muffed it. So set it down at the two and let's play 98 yards. Pick up a little bit to get off the goal line and make it second and six here. Again, empty, man. Georgia's like, you're going to go empty from back here. We're going to bring six. And you got a free runner right up the gut again. Not sure what the deal was on that side. You can see Jaden kind of reacting to it. And with Jaden, it isn't always going to be pretty. We've said that before. Really, really good player. Technique-wise, I don't think you're going to see what Jaden does, especially in pass pro, in a lot of coaching clinics. So immediate pressure for Jalen into his face. And look at this throw. Look at this catch. I like it again from Jeremy Bernard, too, because he doesn't just accept that he's at the top of the route and the ball will get to me. He plays this almost like the DB to make sure he wins inside against Malachi Starks and protects the football and takes care of his quarterback and picks up a first down in the process. So second and nine, more empty. So, you know, it wasn't like Alabama in the second half went with three tight ends and went Stallings ball. Okay. I know we can talk about time management, taking the clock, being more aggressive in certain situations. The way I look at this without getting too granular, the events of that second half especially, is that it was all three phases that you could bring into question. Sure, you could bring into question the offense. Sure, you could bring into question the defense. giving up the explosive plays, not getting off the field enough there in the second half. Hell, you could talk special teams. You had penalties throughout the night on special teams. James Burnett was okay. He wasn't Wisconsin-like. He's not going to be Wisconsin-like week in and week out. But this was an all three phases thing. This wasn't just the offense. The offense, again, scored 39 points. Defense took the ball away four times. You do those two things, you should win comfortably. That's where you got to go back and give some credit to a team that came in ranked second in the country. And, you know, whether you like to hear it or not, other than losing to Alabama, had dominated the sport. So now Jalen on a 2nd and 9 with just over 4 minutes to go, throws the deep hitch. That's a long throw to get 3 yards to your tight end. But that's where it went on 2nd and 9. Nice job by CJ Dupree catching the football. And now you're playing 3rd and 4. This is another one of those plays where if Alabama doesn't win, you're stuck here, I think. Because this looks initially, it looks like a couple of things. It looks like a win-win. It looks like, okay, you got that space in the flat at the top. You know, Georgia's bringing the linebackers. So there's space, bringing a safety from the other side. Now you throw this opposite of some of that pressure. So there's still this guy, Malachi Starks, that's home. You're working mesh here in the middle. Maybe you could have hit that to Williams or Dupree, but I still feel good about this. I mean, Justice Haynes is one of your best players on the ball. Get it to him out in the flat. Boy, what a nice job. Now, right here, okay, I mean, how is that not going to be a first down? C.J. Allen is chasing. There's nobody in the screen as of this point. And Justice Haynes is already, I don't know what he thinks right here. He catches, I guess, C.J. Allen out of the corner of his eye and kind of slows down. Give C.J. Allen a lot of credit. It's a heck of a play, but it just felt like there was a little bit of a hesitation there from Justice. Maybe he wanted to make one more move, and it just felt like he was going to get that yard easily, but he comes up short, and you got to punt the football. And so here's Burnett. Really need to flip the field right here. Need a bomb. And it's not a shank. It's not a poor punt. But 41 yards from James Burnett. Yeah. And Georgia's feeling good about that. Take that trade. Got the football out over the 30. 1st and 10. Alabama defensively just reeling at this point. And you know where you're going with the football. You're working the middle routes. And boy, when he faked that hitch right there. And he's got this kind of time. Ruh-roh. Double move. We've seen this from Alabama in the past, haven't we? Seeing this with guys like Jerry Jeudy, seeing this with guys like what? Ruggs, Waddle, John Mechie. Take a pick. Dylan Bell just wide open behind Keon Sapp. And then to complicate matters, what we talked about a lot, just get them on the ground. Give yourself a chance to play in the red zone. And you don't do that. Instead, he finishes it in the end zone and in the lead now. 34-33 after the double move from the Georgia passing attack. Got that Keon Sapp sniffing a little bit and big play. And again, it also goes back to not being able to get pressure on the quarterback. I mean, to throw those routes, you have to be able to stand in there and have time for it to happen. And it did. So now Georgia going to go for 2 here. Back, this is quarterback draw all the way. You see the center come out early. Center's hunting your linebacker right here. And then the back coming in front too. It's quarterback draw. Nice job by Damon Payne. I thought Damon Payne played a pretty good football game Saturday night. You know, it felt like in some areas the rotations had been kind of tightened up. I think defensive line was one of them. We didn't see as much. I didn't think of Jaheim Otis in this game. We saw Damon Payne. We saw Tim Smith. We saw James Smith. We saw Tim Keenan, LT Overton, Jamarian Latham. Now, the secondary, we still seeing a lot of corners and different guys at the Husky. But this is quarterback draw. It's a good job. Nice job by Damon Payne. Because if he doesn't make that tackle, I don't know if Beck just doesn't just go ahead and is able to stretch that thing out. But again, here's that double move. Keon going to drive on it. Oy. Yep. And then again, you got to make this tackle right here. Yep. So here you go. 34-33 Georgia. What once was a 30-7, 28-0, 30-7 lead. And it's a 67-yard touchdown reception for Dylan Bell. Boy, I wonder where Jalen Milroe is going to look here. He's got his guy up here to the top of the screen. Georgia's like, oh, we're going to play man coverage. Cole Adams in here in the slot, 2x2. It's like a three-man pass rush, too. And it's not like Georgia's bringing much. So you've got protection. Jalen is going to wind up and throw this thing. Look at this adjustment. This is just, you don't coach it. And then watch the body control after the catch. Whoop. I said it on Aftermath last night. Michael Jackson. I used also James Brown as a comparison. The Godfather of Soul. Probably I had in mind the Georgia Bulldogs because, you know, James Brown is Augusta, Georgia native. And he would go to Georgia football games back in the day when Vince Dooley was there. Look at this. KJ Bolden didn't see nothing like that in high school last year. Oof. Look at Ryan Williams. He's like taking his mouthpiece out too at the five. It's just another level, folks. Another level. We've seen a lot. I mean, we've seen guys at that position, but it's like he takes something from all the greats and it's in one guy in Ryan Williams. And for me, the maturity, man, and the competitive maturity for this guy and the work that he obviously puts in is just, you know, because you'll see ultra-talented freshman receivers, but then at some point they hit that wall. Maybe it'll happen with Ryan Williams. I'm not anticipating that as of yet. So right here, you're going to go for two. This is important because you need to get this thing to seven. And you got sort of this bunch to the field. What you're really trying to create is this matchup right here on the top hash mark. That's Jeremy Bernard on Malachi Starks. That's really what you're trying to get one-on-one just right there. And you're going to hold this linebacker in the middle of the field because he's got to worry about Jalen's legs, even without a back. You'll see Jeremy works the out initially and then turns to the inline back to the post. And Starks isn't going to be able to guard that. And a little bit of a low throw. We saw Jeremy earlier in the game lose a reception to review that hit the ground. He's able to get his arms under that one. And that's a big two because you're thinking, you know, Georgia's going to come right back down and either go for two to win it or kick it and go to overtime. But again, kind of a reverse of what we've seen Alabama work with this concept. The slot sits it down this time with Cole Adams and the outside guy keeps running. Whereas we've seen the outside guy sit it down against man and the inside guy run the fade to the top. But Jalen cuts this thing loose. The hands, the body control, that right there, that's, you ain't coaching that. And then uses the offhand, too, in case he needs it. Everything, just really in one play. Create some separation over there. Kirby's jumping, trying to help his DBs, and doesn't matter. Ryan Williams is in the end zone. But can you get a stop? Can you get a stop? Second and 10 for the Georgia Bulldogs, 2:14 left. Four-man pass rush. Beck going to skate back to his left, and he's going to go pick up about eight on second and 10. Kind of runs you out of there. Now at the two-minute warning on a third and two for the Dogs, and there's still plenty of time because Georgia's got three timeouts. So even from their own 33, they can run the football. This was a little scary at first because looked like Georgia had this block pretty well here. And your backers over here, you're thinking, man, ATN may hit this thing right here. But Campbell just, he's able to recover so quickly and create enough interference there to give his teammates a chance to help him out. So third and two for the Dogs from the Alabama 47.5 play action. Carson Beck going to roll to his right. Q with a nice job here. Works inside Lucky in space and able to kind of pressure this throw, maybe just enough. Really good stuff from Devontae Smith. I think Devontae actually went out after this. So you get some interesting looks, as we'll show you here, from this Alabama defense coming up. But again, that inside route just seemed like you had, it was too easy at times. Man coverage, taking the back to the flat, creates that window. Fourth and two, conversion play. Big receiver, big target. And Jackson makes a tackle, but it is another Georgia first down here with 1 minute to go now on a second and eight. And I think this is where you've got, this looks to me like this is King Mack in the game now. At this single high safety with Malachi, this looks like Keon Saab maybe at the Husky is what I'm seeing here. You got your corners, but Devontae Smith's out of the game. Red Morgan's not in here. You're showing a four-man sort of front on second and eight, trying to work a twist. It gets bunched up here with Overton and Coot. It never materializes. To the top, you get a little bit of something working. But then you get this deep shot to the big receiver working against Zabian. Zabian, there's see King Mack. He's over the top. He's in the game as a safety. And Zabian's able to the dismay of Kirby, avoid the defensive PI call. They let him play, man, for the most part. They let him play Saturday night back here. Zabian, even though he's in off coverage, ends up in recovery mode pretty quickly in real time. That probably looks okay to that ref. So now you've taken these shots. And the tough thing about it too is that corner is they've beaten you inside a couple of times on the slant. So, you know, you're kind of wondering, all right, they're going to, and I think that's what happened on that previous play. Zabian thought maybe they were going to work the in-breaker and then they hit him with the go and then he's in recovery mode. But Zabian, as you'll see right here, here you see it too. There's King Mack against the slot. That's Malachi to the top. Saab here. So that's your safety Husky alignment here on this last play defensively. Zabian is off. He's like eight off at the snap on first and 10. And he's got eyes to the quarterback. Beck's thinking, you know what? I don't care if he's got eyes to the quarterback. I got this big receiver. I'm going to go throw it out here at this freshman. But, boy, what a play. You're wondering right here, is there a hero on this Alabama defense? Because it's starting to smell like Michigan in the Rose Bowl last January, where you didn't have enough heroic type of plays down the stretch of that one. But, boy, the Rose Bowl, L.A., Zabian Brown, L.A., true freshman. Targeted heavily throughout the night and tells you something about his mental makeup too. Never folded, gave himself an opportunity to be that dude at the end of the game. And so Alabama with its fourth takeaway of the game, third interception of Carson Beck, forced four turnovers from Carson Beck in the game, able to survive this thing. I think for Georgia offensively, this is actually going to be a positive performance for them because they hadn't been good against Clemson or Kentucky. I think they learned a lot. I think Carson Beck learned a lot about guys that he didn't think he could trust maybe as much that he will moving forward. I think you heard some of that optimism in Kirby Smart even postgame. Obviously not happy with the defeat, but I think just like Alabama is going to be able to take some positives out of some negative situations in this game. I think Georgia's going to be able to do it too. Yep, there you go. That's going to do it for the latest edition of Second Watch. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. Man, I went way too long on this one, didn't I? Wow, what's that all about? I'm going to let you get to your NFL football on this Sunday. There was a lot to talk about, I guess. So there you go. As always, we hope you'll subscribe to the channel. If you haven't already, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell as well. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And if you don't mind, a thumbs up would help us out tremendously as well. The Alabama Crimson Tide, 4-0, 9 of its last 10 winners over the Georgia Bulldogs. Travis Schreier, thanking you once again. And until next time, so long, everybody.